T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They have delayed the decision on whether or not to put the Beckham-Moss deal on the ballot in November. They have delayed that decision to next week, Wednesday morning next week. The city commissioners, they're going to decide. Yeah, that whole scene there at you had a town hall meeting at City Hall there in Miami yesterday. So no real resolution yet, but I'd like to hear from someone who was there. So let's get Billy Corbin on the line here for a moment. He's on the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line, Truly Steps Beyond Convenient. Billy, what do you think the percentage was of people there yesterday at the town hall who were for and against the proposal?
It was actually closer to a solid 50-50 than I thought it was going to be. I think there was definitely a sea of orange. Those orange shirts were people who support maintaining the Melrose Golf Club, who are against that site as a location of an MLS stadium. I think that's the misconception, is that like somehow you have to be pro-soccer or anti-soccer. Quite a few of the people, if not all of the people, who were wearing orange shirts and were against this plan were actually pro-soccer and would want to see an MLS stadium here in Miami. They just don't want to see it on that site and with this proposal.
What are we expecting, or better yet, what was the biggest reason that they didn't come to a decision last night? Was it just because the whole thing took too long yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it wrapped up just I think before 11 p.m. and it wrapped up in typical Miami government style. It was kind of like that Chappelle Show skit where he's testifying in front of Congress. He knocks the glass of water out of the way and runs the other direction. You know, it was kind of like that, and that's how it'll be on Wednesday, no doubt. What they do is that they defer these important votes, not only because there's so many issues to discuss, and you have to remember, this whole deal was all done in back rooms, behind the scenes, with Mayor Francis Suarez, city manager Emilio Gonzalez, and the city attorney Victoria Mendez. This was all done very shady, very secretive, with only dropping little drips and drabs of information, and then ultimately not a lot of information. I mean, what they were voting on was so vague, and Commissioner Ken Russell was quite clear about that. He's like, nobody knows what we're doing here, nobody knows what we're voting on, and the materials we do have are not sufficient. They're not acceptable. So now the real backdoor deals begin now. I mean, the next 5 days are really going to be about the Beckham Moss group trying to spread the wealth and essentially, for lack of a better term, buy the votes of the three commissioners who at the moment are no, who are Ken Russell, Willie Gort, who's actually the commissioner in the district where the Melrose Golf Club is located, and Manny Reyes. Those guys seem to be the three no's, so they need to obviously get into some, go make some meetings and try to get those guys on their side, which I'm sure they'll get at least one of them, which is all they need for now, and then they'll need 4 out of 5 later on to ratify any contract.
Billy, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a lot of these golf courses in South Florida that you hear about are either the Doral, the Biltmore, Crandon Park, Indian Creek, LaGorse, like all these are all very predominant courses. It almost seems like this was like the toy that the child was playing with and all of a sudden left it alone to go play with another toy. But all of a sudden we want that toy again and the kid becomes interested back in that toy. Where did these people come from that are such big fans of the Mel Reese course? And if I'm wrong and this has a giant backing behind it, let me know.
I don't know that it has a giant backing, but it is a public park. It is, I think, the only publicly owned golf course in the city of Miami. And so it does have its place in a golf state, in a golf community, essentially. And this is where kids play. This is where charity organizations help kids and give kids scholarships to play. So there really is a you could call it a cult following. I don't think it's a gigantic percentage of the city's population. But it's also not a giant percentage of the city's population that would be impacted by this deal, for this stadium. It's really to enrich a very tiny group of people, some of whom are local, most of whom are not, obviously. And what was incredible about it is that, I mean, let me just be honest. The only thing I care less about than soccer is golf. So I don't really have a dog in this fight. But I will tell you that the business of government stopped yesterday in the city of Miami. The police chief was there. The city manager was there. All the commissioners, the mayor. I mean, there was like dozens of cops there. Everything stopped because a billionaire wants another stadium. And that seems to be par for the course, no pun intended, in our government, is that we never have time or money for public transportation or homelessness or affordable housing or sea level rise or any important issues that affect nearly 100% of a city. But there's, as a second a billionaire wants a stadium, everything stops and all the business of government focuses on that. And I think that's the really shameful part of all this.
Or it's typical Miami where they just want to get a picture with David Beckham, where they want to be in the hottest place to be seen.
Well, they already got that. So can we just move on to the next thing, for crying out loud?
But is it typical Miami? Because you've referenced that a lot of these discussions, of course, have happened behind closed doors and that there's some shady dealings. And, of course, we know that was the case with Marlins Park. I also lived in South Florida, of course, during Stephen Ross. I'm trying to get public funding and it not working out. Him ending up paying for the remodeling of his stadium. But those are really my only experiences with stadiums have been living in South Florida. Is this something that's exclusive to South Florida? Is it, in fact, that in other places these sorts of discussions are had in the public? Because that seems hard for me to believe, if I'm being honest with you, that this sort of thing doesn't happen everywhere when you're talking about billionaires building new stadiums.
Oh, it happens everywhere. It's happening in Central Florida, in Tampa. Right now, it happened in Vegas. It happens all over. It happens all over the country because this is the MO of professional sports organizations. They come in, they put the full court press with the weight of their multimillionaire or billionaire owners, the weight of their multibillionaire leagues, and they extort public money, from municipalities and states by threatening to move a team or threatening, all sorts of things, not to give you a Super Bowl or a national championship or a World Cup game. This is pretty par for the course. I mean, there are billions and billions of public subsidies invested is a bad term, but burned on NFL stadiums and Major League Baseball parks. I mean, this is not, unfortunately, unique to South Florida. It just seems to happen here a lot more often than it happens any place else, but that's Miami.
So if this is sort of par for the course and sort of how these business dealings go, for better or for worse, then what is the solution if, in fact, you do want Miami to have an MLS team? If somebody does believe that the MLS would do well here or that this is a good market for it, what is the solution if this is sort of how the stadium dealings work no matter where the stadium is proposed?
The solution is better government. That's the solution to almost everything that ails us presently. We need better government. We need people who do not have perverse, warped priorities and perverse incentives, who actually represent the best interests of their constituents and not the, fraction of 1% of their rich campaign donors. I mean, that's what you need, people who actually care about the community and do things for their constituents and not for billionaires. I mean, as far as the MLS solution, I think one of the speakers said it best yesterday when she said, why don't they buy a piece of property and build their stadium on it, just like Joe Robbie did, back in the 1980s. I think that's ultimately the solution. What do you do when you want to open a business or open an office? You call your realtor. You don't call the government. The billionaires call the mayor. They go, hey, what kind of land do you have for me? What kind of tax subsidies do you have for me? How can I get welfare as a billionaire? I want an office. I don't call the mayor. I don't call the city manager, the city attorney, and ask what they can give me. I call a realtor. I go drive around, look for a sign that says for sale on a piece of property that would work for me, and I sign a lease with somebody. I mean, that's the thing here is that there's a real sense of entitlement obviously, that comes from, you know, from people with this kind of power and wealth.
Right. Well, arguably, the sports business is such a unique business. So as I understand it, based on your tweets, you're against this particular location, right, with the Melrose Golf Course. So where would you, are you against this stadium building project generally, or is there some other location that you think would be more appropriate?
Well, I'm not a realtor either. You know, I would hope that the people who are actually interested in opening this thing would find a location that's suitable for it, that the neighbors are happy with. I like the Doral location. I mean, all of the things that have been floated thus far, I thought the Doral location made the most sense geographically in terms of the demographic, the market, and the interest in the sport of soccer. And it was way out west. You know, it wasn't an I-95 problem. It was a west problem. I mean, of all of the ideas that have been out there, that would be, the best of the worst so far. The problem, as I understand it, is that MLS itself has approval over the location, and they thought that was too far from the action. You know, they wanted it further east, more in the city of Miami, in the middle of the city of Miami. And what they're trying to steal here is a 99-year lease at way below fair market value. I mean, a fraction of what people are estimating fair market value is. And it's the single largest parcel of property owned by the city of Miami. And so this is, as people said repeatedly yesterday, unfortunately, this discussion is not about a soccer stadium. This is a land grab, a naked land grab, straight up. And it's the way is being paved by Mayor Francis Suarez, which is unfortunate because he was supposed to represent a new and next generation of Miami leadership, and it's just the same crap, different mayor.
Billy, do you find that Jorge Mas and David Beckham are being dishonest somewhere in their proposal?
Oh, thus far, I think they're being secretive in their proposal. I don't know if they're being. I know they're being disingenuous because I've seen some of their projections, and they are, as I call them, sci-fi pie in the sky lies. So some of it is a little bit absurd, but again, par for the course with these sports welfare and sports stadium type of schemes. So I don't exactly begrudge them that. Listen, their job is to get the best deal, just like Jeff Loria or Stephen Ross, or even the Miami Heat, who have a sweetheart deal at the American Airlines Arena that when taxpayers voted on it, the ballot language was so deceitful back in the late 90s that you vote yes meant no and no meant yes. On the ballot, I swear to God, if you were for it, you voted no, and if you were against it, you voted yes. That's how tricky and deceitful Arison in the Miami-Dade County made the sweetheart American Airlines arena lease. So this is, again, par for the course. They're trying to get the best deal for their side. The problem is the people who are supposed to negotiate on behalf of the city of Miami, they're on the same side of the bargaining table. The mayor is with Beckham and Moss. The city manager is with Beckham and Moss. The city attorney is with Beckham and Moss. So it leaves nobody on the other side of the bargaining table. You wouldn't hire an agent or an attorney that you didn't trust or you knew represented the best interests of the other side of your contract negotiation. So that's really the problem that we're dealing with here.
Well, let me ask you this. Why are the government officials on the same side as Beckham and Moss in this scenario? Or as in terms of all these stadium deals, is it because they believe that the stadium deals end up generating revenue for their city? I mean, why?
Nobody believes that because there's no evidence of that. And they have decades now of these sports welfare deals and these so-called public-private partnerships and contracts to look at. And they know none of these things are transformative or a specific, create any sort of legitimate economic stimulus. They only, it's the same reason, it's money. I mean, when you have, when you're dazzled by the star power of David Beckham, one of the most famous men in the world, when you have Jorge Mas, who is a very successful and well-established, Miami businessman who's spread a lot of wealth around this community, particularly among the politicians, and has built his family's fortune was built, in fact, on a lot of government contracts. You know, I mean, this is just how the sausage is made, and people got a sense of that yesterday. and it's pretty appalling.
All right, most importantly, Billy, we'll wrap it up with this. We appreciate you spending a lot of time with us here this morning. Have you started making more films that people want to watch in less time obsessed with Greg Cody?
I got to tell you, I never think about a Greg Cody. I was faced with a tweet, and I responded in the most honest way possible. And I think, listen, that's part of the problem. You know, I think when we saw, 10 years ago now, when the Miami Herald endorsed the Marlins Park deal, that was a profound failure on the part of one of the important institutions in this community, our newspaper, which is supposed to do their part to vet and objectively analyze these deals and represent their own constituents, who are also the readers and the taxpayers of South Florida. And their sports pages of the Herald and the editorial board of the Herald were basically, an extension of the PR apparatus of the Marlins ownership. And I was just, making a very simple and obvious and accurate observation. And I think, that was in 2008, 2009, a very sensitive time in the newspaper business. And I think that was a significant moment in the history of the credibility of that paper. I mean, can you imagine a Miami without, without the important local journalism that the Herald does? And we've seen it on this downward slide. And I think, it was exacerbated and accelerated, unfortunately, by their full-throated endorsement of the Marlins Park deal. And that includes Greg and everybody in the sports pages. And again, everybody on the editorial board. It was they endorsed the Marlins Park deal. What else, do you need to know about that to know that there was a serious breach of trust with their readership and obviously I'm sure they regret it.
But did you and Greg Cody make eye contact yesterday?
No one could look straight at his shirt. That's okay. Actually impossible. You turned to stone.
it was very fluorescent and colorful.
It was actually a little duller than usual, which is funny because he looked like he had just come from the beach, whereas Joey Fletcher from the Miami Herald was like in his bar mitzvah suit. He was like, he knew that people were going to see him in the background, of the comment camera. And so he got like all dressed up just in case like his mom saw him, on television, he's sitting behind David Beckham. But Cody was in his usual sort of Florida dad gear, which I much respect.
All right. Excellent job, Billy. Stay out of trouble. All right.
You too, man. Thanks.
All right, there you go. Billy Corbin right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.